This is Pastor Brad Ingram. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and I'll be bringing you a message that I brought to our people at church recently, and it was very beneficial there. The Lord certainly moved and helped folks, and I pray that it will do the same as you listen. And again, if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. We'll read one verse from this chapter, and then we'll be going to Jeremiah chapter 3, and then to John 21. So Proverbs chapter 14, and I want to be speaking about a subject that I believe is relevant to every single believer, every truly born-again child of God, and that subject is backsliding. Now, there would be some folks who say that backsliding is just a fanciful term that some folks like to use to excuse sin in the life of a believer. In fact, that's not the case at all. The word backsliding is a word that is found several times in the Word of God, and it always applies to the people of God, and I'll show you that in just a moment. So again, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 14. The Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." So there's that word backslider. Now, what does it mean to backslide on the Lord? It simply means to turn from the will of God in your life and to do your own will. Now, some folks may think they have an accurate test for whether or not someone is backslidden. And at least in this part of the country, I found that one such test, if you'll call it, is whether or not a person is in church or attends church faithfully. And I've heard it said to folks, well, they're in church. They've been in church for years. It's wonderful if you attend the house of God faithfully. We're commanded to do so. But friends, being in the church building regularly is not a test of whether or not one is backslidden. You can be backslidden on the Lord, doing your own will, and still come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to the house of the Lord. But I say it'll profit you little if you come not in fellowship, not in communion with the Lord. So let's look at this again. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Let's just examine it. The Bible says the backslider in heart. Now, very important truth here. Backsliding always begins in the heart. By the time it reaches actions, by the time the backsliding manifests itself in a lack of Bible reading and prayer and, of course, attending church, and a lack of witnessing, a lack of true godliness and holiness of life, before it ever reaches that stage in a person, it is first taken root in their heart. No one wakes up on a given day and determines to backslide. This is a gradual process that always, as the scripture says, begins in the heart. That's why the Bible says here, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Notice it does not say shall be filled with the ways of the Lord, but shall be filled with his own ways. Then the contrast here, this same verse says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So here is two different paths that a believer may take, the backsliding position or the good way, the good part, as the Lord said about Mary of Bethany. And so we have taken this text as a foundation. We've shown that backsliding is possible. Backsliding begins in the heart before it ever shows itself in the actions, and that the backslider can expect to reap certain things that they have sown. I've heard people in a backslidden condition encounter some trouble, some trial, and sometimes they will accuse God or question God. And what you would like to say to these folks is it's not God bringing this upon you. It's because of your backsliding. You are being filled with your own ways, as the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 14. Now, the next question that comes to mind in a sermon about backsliding is this. Is it possible for a child of God to backslide and still be a child of God? Some would say that the backslider forfeits salvation, loses their eternal life that they once had in Christ, which if you could lose it, certainly would not be eternal, but temporary eternal life, as the case would be. And for this, we're not going to argue what we think, what we've been told, but we must let the Word of God speak. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11. Jeremiah, of course, is the Old Testament prophet of God to the people of God, and he's known as a weeping prophet. And Jeremiah was a man that wept continually for the sins of the people. He saw their wickedness. He lamented it. He saw the wickedness of the chosen people now. This was not the heathen that Jeremiah was called to witness to. These were the people of God, and he wept over it. And Jeremiah chapter 3 is a part of this great sermon that we have in our Bible to the people of God. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah." Of course, at this time, the kingdom had split. The northern kingdom was known as Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And God said to Jeremiah, Israel has backslidden, and they've justified themselves. Now, I read this verse because I want you to see something. Again, this was Israel that was backslidden. This was not the Canaanites. This was not the Jebusites. This was not the Hivites or the Hittites. This was the Israelites. So in this verse, the Lord makes it plain that not only can the people of God backslide, but they often do. Now, this is not God's will, of course, and God's not excusing it, and God's not condoning it. But he's saying it's simply a fact. So I want you to know at the outset of this that it is the Bible position that a truly born-again child of God can leave the will of God and still be a son of God, as the prodigal was in the far country. He was never called a swine. He was always a son, even though he was living among the swine. Yet he did not enjoy the full benefits of his relationship to his father. And when a Christian, when a born-again believer backslides, when they leave the will of God, they don't lose the sonship. Of course, they lose the fellowship there, but they also forfeit the benefits of their relation with the Lord Jesus. They don't lose the relationship now, but they do lose the benefits that come along with the relationship. That's why David, when he was in sin, said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." All that David had lost was the joy. He did not ask for the salvation to be restored, and I imagine some folks would disagree with what I've just said, but if you'll study it, you'll know it to be true. And so a believer can backslide, and when a believer does slide back, as it were, out of the will of God, as Israel hath done, they are still the people of God. In fact, the book of Romans says that all Israel shall be saved. So because she backslid did not mean God cast her off, but only that she is being dealt with now under judgment, just as a backslider will. Now, what I want to do in this sermon today is to give you from John 21, if you'll turn there, John 21, I want to give you a picture of a backslider. And I want you to see this demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Peter. And I want you to mark down, to note some things that the backslider can expect. Let's look just for a few minutes at what the backslider can expect. And if you're listening today and you're not in the will of God, your heart is not right with God, you may have been saved, but you're out of the will of God, you're not serving the Lord, you are living this sermon today. And you'll know it'll be true if you'll be honest with the Holy Spirit. The truth is about backslidden folk is until the Lord arrests them, until the Holy Spirit of God convicts them, they will do what Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11 says. They will justify themselves. A backslider who has not been dealt with by the Lord or refuses to be dealt with will always justify themselves, and they will never admit that they are backslidden. In fact, they will see everybody else as being wrong. Everybody else has the problem. Everybody else is out of the will of the Lord. But they won't see it for themselves. They'll justify themselves until the Holy Spirit of God so convicts their soul that they break down before the Lord and confess their sin of backsliding. But until that comes, they can expect some things. You can expect some things if you're listening. John 21, I'm going to read it to you, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, that's reading from John chapter 21, the first seven verses, and we're going to reference this throughout the message. So if you're there with your Bible, keep it open to John chapter 21, and let's look for just a few minutes now on what the backslider can expect. First of all, when you're backslidden, when you're out of God's will, you can always expect to influence other people in the wrong way. You can always expect to influence those closest to you for evil, never for good. Now, we see that here in John 21. The Bible says that all the disciples were there after the resurrection of Christ. And in verse 2, it says, there were together Simon Peter, and then Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, and the other two disciples that are unnamed. The point is, this band of disciples who had all been called out of the fishing boat to catch men, in Luke 5, Jesus said, henceforth, thou shalt catch men. The Lord had called them out of this old life and into a life of soul winning and preaching and being a true disciple. These men were together, Simon Peter, who is always named first, in any list you'll find of the disciples, Simon Peter is always named first. This apostle, Simon, being a leader and being backslidden, he was out of the will of the Lord in John 21 because he'd gotten discouraged. He believed the Lord had forsaken him, and his heart was not in fellowship with Christ. So Peter was backslidden in John 21, at least the first half of the chapter, and he said something. He said, I go a fishing. Now, he did not say, you're going fishing. He did not say, we are going fishing. He did not say, come with me as I go fishing. He simply said concerning himself, I go a fishing. Then, if you'll notice, the Bible says in verse 3, they say unto him, we also go with thee. You see that? Simon Peter, unwillingly perhaps, but nevertheless, he influenced the other men for evil. You see, I don't believe Simon Peter had the intention of dragging all these men out with him out of the will of God, but because he was the leader, and because he was out of God's will, he influenced these other men to do something that was not part of God's plan for their life. And the truth is, so many people who are out of God's will use this as sort of a justification, that they're not hurting anyone but themselves. Friends, that's just not true. The Bible says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So you will influence those who you're around. Fathers, you'll influence your wives. You'll influence your children. Mothers, you'll influence your husband and the children. Pastors, you'll influence those folks who serve with you in the church. Church members, you'll influence other people around you in the house of God. It is a biblical fact that you will be who you're around. We influence one another. That's why we're called to live holy lives and exhort one another when we come together. But the truth is, Peter was not in God's will, and he took all these men with him when he did something that was not part of God's plan. No one ever, listen to me now, no one ever influences people for righteousness when they are outside of God's will. Oh, they may still preach, they may still say things that are biblically correct, but as far as influence, nobody has any real influence for God while they are backslidden. Again now, if the Lord works through something someone says, it's simply because he's doing it through his own power and his own word. A preacher may be backslidden and preach a sermon, and folks may get saved, may be convicted, but it's not anything to do with that preacher as a man. It's simply the power of the word of God. That man in his private life is not influencing anybody for righteousness or for holiness. And we see that in Peter's life. Again, I'm not trying to demonize Peter. I don't think that he intended to drag these men with him. He simply said, I go a-fishing. They say, we also go with thee. So that's the first thing the backslider can expect, to influence others for evil. Now, if you're listening, if you've been born again, I trust that your desire to influence other people for Christ, to lead folks to Christ, to show folks the way of true holiness and godliness, that will never be done now if you're out of God's will. The second thing that the backslider can expect is found in verse 3 of John 21. The Bible says, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. See how quickly they got into that ship now. They didn't gradually enter the ship. They didn't contemplate it and then get in. Once they had made up their mind to follow Peter, everything happened very quickly. And once your heart turns away from the living God, from the will of God, then you will quickly degrade into sin. You'll quickly go from bad to worse. The Bible said they immediately entered into a ship. Then the Bible says in the last part of verse 3, and that night they caught nothing. You can expect, when you're backslidden, to work hard and maybe even labor for Christ, but you can expect to accomplish nothing of real value. I see these men here. They were not simply out there recreational fishing. They were there fishing as they had been used to doing it their whole life for their livelihood. They were casting the net, rowing back in, casting the net, pulling back in, over and over all night long. Don't you know these men were weary and they were tired? But yet the Bible says they caught nothing. Not even one fish, not even five. Even that would have been considered a wasted night, but they caught nothing. That's the way it is when we are outside of God's will. You can work and you can be busy, but you'll never accomplish anything. Look at the story of Martha and Mary when Jesus was in Bethany in their house. Martha was busy, and may I say she was busy doing a very good thing. She was preparing the meal for the Lord and for the disciples. That was a good work. In fact, the Lord never did condemn her work. He simply condemned the spirit in which she did her work. She was laboring and toiling, and she came into the room where Christ was, and Mary, her sister, was simply sitting there at Christ's feet, not helping her, not doing anything. And Martha, in so many words, said to the Lord, "Bid her that she come and help me. Make her do something." And the Lord said to Martha, "Martha, Martha." And he told her that she was coming about with much serving, but he said, "Mary hath chosen that good part." So we see here that Martha, although she was busy, didn't really accomplish anything that would satisfy her soul later. However, Mary was just sitting, listening to the Lord, and what Mary had could not be taken away from her, as the Lord said. So when you're out of God's will, you can expect to labor. Sunday school teachers, you can study, you can prepare, you can do all this. Deacons, song leaders, preachers, you can be busy in the work of Christ. You can even witness and visit. But you'll accomplish nothing of lasting value. All these things will leave you empty. And it'll show just how empty your life was when you stand before Christ at the judgment seat. Your works will be burned up. These men, the Bible says, caught nothing. Now, another thing, and perhaps the saddest of all that I see in John 21, and by the way, the backslider can still expect this to happen today, is found in verse 4. The Bible says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore." And don't miss this. "But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." When you're backslidden, you can expect to miss the Lord's appearances in your life. Now, I don't mean that he's going to come down to you and show himself to your physical eye, and you won't see him in physical form. But you know, I believe with all my soul that for a believer, the Lord seeks to show himself to us every day. The Lord Jesus wants to make himself real to us every day we live by answering prayers and by keeping us from evil and by withholding things from us that would simply destroy us if he were to let his hand off of us. And if you doubt that for a minute, look at what happened to the Old Testament character of Job when God lifted his protecting hand off of Job just for a while. The devil would have taken his life if God would have permitted it. So I see here that these disciples, his own disciples now, who had walked with him and talked with him and shared meals with him for over 3 years, did not even know it was him standing on the shore. Now, what had blinded them? They were blinded, I believe, because they were out of God's will and they didn't recognize his own presence. Now, let me take you to the book of Hosea for an illustration of this truth. Hosea, of course, is another indictment against the adulterous nation of Israel. And to illustrate this point, God uses the harlot named Gomer, the wife of the prophet Hosea. Listen to what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 2, beginning at verse number 5. "For their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Now this harlot said it was her lovers that gave her all these things. She said, "It's my lovers that give me bread and water and wool and flax and oil and drink." But the Lord says in verse number 8, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold." Do you know what the Bible says here is that the adulterous nation of Israel thought that it was her other lovers, the other gods, which are no gods at all. She thought it was they that was supplying her every need and giving her things that she had need of. But God said the whole time, it was me. I was giving her bread and her water and her wine, her oil, her corn, but she didn't recognize me because she was out of my will. And the same thing is true today. When a believer gets out of God's will, they will miss the Lord's appearances in their life. When you're out of God's will, you can attend church faithfully, as I said earlier. You can sing the hymns, you can hear the Bible message, and yet in all of that, you can miss the Lord's appearance. You can leave that church house just the same way you walked in. And the sad thing is, some folks do that week after week after week. As a pastor, I see it. I believe for some folks, it gets just to be a show or a routine or just a ritual. But the truth is, it's been a long time since some folks have had a true encounter with God. Not because he doesn't seek to show himself, but because they've been too blinded by sin to even see him when he's near. And you can expect this, backslider. John 21, these disciples did not even know it was the Lord. Now, I won't read the entire story for time's sake, but if you'll read John chapter 20 sometime, verses 19 through 24, read about a man named Thomas who was not present in the upper chamber there where the disciples were when the Lord, after his resurrection, appeared unto them. Thomas was gone, and my, he missed some things. He missed when Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." He missed the peace of God. He missed when Jesus said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." He missed the program of God. He missed the commission, the command of God to be a soul winner. And then Jesus breathed on him, saying, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Can you imagine all that Thomas missed by not being there when the Lord showed up? And if you're backslidden, if you're out of God's will, other folks around you will experience the Lord, and they'll see his hand working. They'll see their prayers answered. They'll see miracles in their life, but you won't see them. You'll wonder, what's the fuss about? Why all the praising and why the tears of joy? You simply have missed the Lord, although he's been there the entire time. Let me give you this also. The backslider can expect what we read in verse number 5 of John 21. And again, John 21, verse 5, the Bible says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." I want you to read that if you can. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto them, Children," notice he didn't call them dogs. He didn't call them swine or wolves. Those are all things the Bible uses to speak about the unbelievers. But never do we find the Lord calling his children, his saved people, anything but children. He calls them children. So this tells me they hadn't lost their salvation because they was out of God's will for a night. He still called them his children, but yet they had to be instructed and brought back. Notice their answer. They simply said no in verse 5. They didn't offer an excuse. They didn't say, "Well, the weather was bad tonight." Or they just weren't biting tonight, as the expression goes. Or the waves were contrary. You know, when I read verse 5, I see these men were desperate. They were exhausted. They were desperate. They were hopeless and helpless. And when they uttered that answer back to Christ, it was almost as if they were saying, "No, we've come to the end of ourselves. We've come to the end of this night. And we've still caught nothing. And we're not going to try to justify it. We're wrong, and we're empty, and we're sorrowful, we're disillusioned and discouraged." They simply said no. And you can expect, when you're out of God's will, to come to the place in your life when you get absolutely desperate. You're absolutely spiritually bankrupt, and no longer are you trying to justify yourself or make excuses for it. You know you're wrong. God has told you you're wrong, and there'll come a time when Jesus will say to you by his Spirit, "Children, do you have any meat?" In other words, are you satisfied by the way you're living? Are you really fulfilled in your Christian life? Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? And you'll have to say, "No, I'm not." And thank God when he brings us to that point, because there's hope for us. And I wonder how many people will hear a message like this, read Bible stories like this, and yet go right on in their backslidden condition. The truth is, in all that, God lets you go on just as long as you want to. I know that because of what the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 21. It says, "But when the morning was now come," I'm convinced with all my soul Jesus watched those men all night long. He could have come to them at any time during that night, during the first watch, the second watch, or the third watch. And he could have posed them that question at any time through the night, and brought them back to himself, but he didn't. He let them stay out there all night, toiling with those nets, toiling against the water all night long, until the time was right. And he said, now, you're tired, you're weary, have you any meat? They said, no. You'll get to that place if you're out of God's will. He'll come to you, and you'll have to just confess, no, I'm not right. Then let me close with this. When you're out of God's will, thank the Lord you can expect what's found in John 21, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Aren't you glad of that? Jesus didn't say, well, you've lost it. You've blown your chance to be used. Just work your way back. The Lord said, come and dine. He didn't even say, you got to fish for your own breakfast. When they came, they already found the bread and the fish upon the fire. And I'm thankful that God still calls the backslider to himself. He's not content to let us stay out there in our own will. He'll call us back. You have to answer. You have to say yes. Peter did. He swam to the Lord. He didn't wait for the boat to get back. And I see here, the Lord called all these men back. Now, what's so beautiful about that is he could have forsaken them all and called 12 other men, but he didn't. And I see here, who in the world would want a bunch of fishermen out of God's will who couldn't even catch anything all night? I'll tell you who wanted them. Jesus wanted them. And only the Lord would have those men back. And only the Lord would have me back. Only the Lord will have you back when you're backslidden. But he will call you. When he does call, you must answer. The Lord said in Jeremiah 3:22 that he would heal their backslidings. If you're out of God's will today, listen to him. He says, come and dine. Just come back to where you left the Lord. He's still there. He's been watching you the whole night. You're tired and you're weary. You feel forsaken and empty. If you'll come back to the Lord today, he's promised to have a table spread for you. But this message is intended to encourage you and also to warn you. This is what the backslider in heart can expect. God bless you.